listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Because Rod and Karen are hot.
Extra salty because whoever beat me got me for my 31-inch. And this Alpha Bailey jacket I had just bought me. Out of snapping, my guy was trying to talk me. But what killed me, got me halfway calm was this Donny Hathaway song. The tape that it was on, I had wanted while I was gone. But I forgot to pack it. In fact, it was in that jacket. This demo, it's time to track it and lay it down. Either somebody I know or somebody I stay around. Day before I broke out, niggas was over my crib getting smoked out. No telling who had to play scope. Out. Donnie brought over some niggas I didn't know. I'm asking, who are you? He said, I'm with the Mo. If it was them, soon I'll collide with them. And they better not be rocking no new Iversons. Then it could have been this hype that usually shovel my snow. If I'm out of town or not, by my car he would know. Now, it might have been the stripper I met at the Pink House party, thick. But my furniture wasn't worth her body. Hey, welcome to the Blackout Test Podcast. Your host Rod and
Aaron,
and we're in the house on a Monday.
I was about to say it was Tuesday. Come on, Tuesday.
Yep, it's Monday, guys. We are back in the house for all the people that check out the show. You know, we appreciate you. You know, Did the regular show yesterday, then I did a spoiler movie review for It. It's in your feed for all the premium people. And then late at night we did a recap of Fear the Walking Dead,
the late night jam,
right? And now we already back on these mics. Okay, guys, so you know you had to show up to work on Monday feeling kind of out of it, feeling kind of overworked, feeling like you're doing, but we over here working too. We working hard for y'all. Make sure y'all get the right things that you need.
Yes.
We appreciate y'all for supporting the show.
We do.
You know, I know a lot of y'all came to work this morning and looked at that calendar, seen them 5 days. No holidays in sight.
Hey, slavery!
No, it's so.
I know a lot of y'all was there this morning.
Oh, a lot of y'all was like, God damn, no more days off till Thanksgiving.
Right. All right, man. So find us on iTunes, Stitcher, leave us 5-star reviews. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
an unofficial sport.
Bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme. And I got my mug today. I took a picture. I was drinking my pumpkin spice coffee because, you know, it's white woman season, guys. It's officially fall.
Yes, it is.
So I was rocking my pumpkin spice coffee this morning, and I took a picture of it with my new mug, my Blackout Tips new logo mug, and somebody was like, I have to get one of those. Well, if you listen to the show, teespring.com/stores/tbgwt-store. I'll put it in the show notes, but it's our store on Teespring. You can also just go to Teespring and search the Blackout Tips or TBGWT and it'll come up and you can see our store and, you know, click on things, buy things, get things. People are out there buying stuff all the time. Like it sends me a little alert, like, hey, someone bought some more stuff. So we appreciate y'all buying something, putting something in on this. Plus you can rock your gear, your swag, you know, take selfies in it, take pictures of your gear and stuff, and we'll retweet it, we'll spread the word. We might use it for show art or something like that if you're okay with that. So yeah, hit us up. Teespring, that's where the store is. I did have a few random thoughts, not a lot, but just a few. I've been thinking a lot about this Kevin Hart situation, and I've been seeing a lot of people say stuff like, see, that's what y'all get for fucking with them Instagram models. Why y'all always messing with them Instagram models? Y'all out there, you know, getting caught in their DMs, and they telling them, they trying to get the fame, so they telling on y'all, they taking pictures of y'all and all this shit. But I was thinking about this. Of all the people who say it's dumb to have sex with Instagram models, 100% of them are not in the demographic of people that Instagram models are trying to fuck.
Come on, dang, looking twice at your black ass.
I don't know if it's just coincidence or what, but it's almost like saying, you know what, man? I would never spend $1 billion on a car. Like, nigga, you don't have $1 billion. It seems stupid to you, but you broke. So of course, spending too much money on getting extra cheese on your Whopper might be stupid to you. But
come on,
I don't know. To these athletes and shit, I mean, it's just a Tuesday. You know what I'm saying? Like, they taking these these shots, I mean, we only see the ones that go wrong. Yeah. Who knows how many of these people behind the scenes is,
and they go right and you never hear about them. And in my opinion, sometimes I think a lot of this shit is just a shame. Instagram models, honey, let them women be whoever they are. And
yeah, I do think at some point it crosses a line with jealousy sometimes,
right?
Like how people always make jokes about Holly Berry and she crazy, you know, she fine but she crazy. It's like, I mean, are we really saying that about her but not about other motherfuckers that get married 4 or 5 times that are men? Like, we never cross up. Like, you can, here's the difference between men and women. Steve Harvey can get married 3 times and write relationship books. Mm-hmm. Holly Berry gets married 3 times and she's just a crazy bitch. You know what I mean? Like, that's the difference.
Yeah, a lot of times that's the judge, being very judgmental towards those women. Like, oh, I got a reason to shit on women. Instagram thoughts. Is them thought and got to do with you? Nothing.
Like, who are these celebrity dudes supposed to fuck with? You know what I mean? Like, it's not like they looking for women to love, cherish, and respect and honor and all this shit. Like, they looking to fuck people. And you got somebody that's taking pictures with cupcakes over their nipples on Instagram. I don't know. Maybe that's the person you shoot the DM to.
I'm trying to tell you. Everybody like cupcakes. And that's the thing. Sometimes they're just mad because the women ain't thinking twice about them.
You know, I was thinking about how with the times in the country being so divisive. And with Charlottesville and these marches, these white supremacy things. Like, I should, you know, I have to kind of back off of the white supremacists a little bit. Like, I need to calm down because I don't want to be a hypocrite, you know. Because, you know, I say that I'm anti-slavery. But I've really gotten used to Publix employees taking my groceries out to my car.
But they ain't doing it for free.
Real fast, y'all. I'm talking real fast. Like, it's not like they charge you a fee.
You used to complain about that.
I know. I told you.
Okay. That's what I'm saying. What happened all of a sudden? Roger used to tell them, I got it.
Yeah, but I'm telling y'all, man, one day it just flipped. I don't know when, but now they be like, sir, you mind if I help you out to your car? I'll be like, yeah, boy. Now hurry up. And don't talk to me and look and make no eye contact either. And you be careful with them damn groceries too, little boy. You know, I talk to him just like that, you know, especially if it's like a grown ass white man, you know, like I'll just, hey, listen, and don't you touch the paint on my trunk. I'll let you know when you done. Okay. And they're like, sir, you want a coupon? I'll be like, give me 2, boy. You know, cause that's just how I feel, you know, now that, so maybe I'm a hypocrite. Cause I mean, just a few months ago, I was like, it makes me uncomfortable. And,
right. You used but to now complain. I'm like,
I see how these white folks got used to this in the South. I see how they got used to it, you know? Oh, I'm so parched. Fetch me a lemonade. You know what I mean? Imagine that. You got a human being that's basically just a free lemonade machine. Sure, it's going to have some spit in it, but it's your, but you didn't have to even move to get it.
Sure didn't have to squeeze no lemons, nothing.
All right. I'm just saying, man. Trump and motherfucking Kim Jong-un keep trading bars on Twitter and in the press and in the media, and it's making me nervous. Cause if this nigga nukes us before Black Panther comes out, I am gonna be in hell, mad as hell. Like, I'm just gonna be so upset.
Right?
Cause you know they probably ain't got the good copy in hell. It's gonna be the bootleg fire stick version with people walking around and shit. Like, I don't, like, we not gonna, you know, heaven probably gonna get the good shit, you know.
Heaven probably get the real actors. They was like, no, we got, no, you ain't watching no movie, you watching them do right it.
But yeah, I don't, this shit is making me nervous, man. Like, Kim Jong-un, I saw a picture of Kim Jong-un the other day, y'all, I'm not even joking, I might make it the show cover. This nigga's in a rap squad with all his generals behind him.
What?
And I said,
we gonna die.
We are going to die.
Right? He's squatting. Come on, dog.
I've seen that pose before. That pose is the pose of a nigga's about to do something horrendously stupid and unforgivable and irredeemable.
And not smart.
You don't talk shit to people like that. God, I miss Obama. Like, can't all y'all, like, neoliberal haters and shit, can't y'all at least admit y'all missed this motherfucker? Can we stop pretending yet? Has it been long enough? Has it been, what is it, almost 9 months now? Can we give up the bullshit and admit that goddamn it was a lot better to have a competent person in the White House
that you can fuss and complain about ain't doing enough?
Is that okay? Am I not woke enough? Am I not progressive enough if I say, damn, this is so fucked up what is happening right now? I never used to worry about my president getting into a Twitter battle with a leader of another country and then having to threaten nuclear war on him. I never thought about that before.
Right.
I had 8 years of being like, well, I'm sure the adults will handle the North Korea situation way better than I can. I don't know enough about it.
Yeah, and y'all took Hillary as a joke when she was like, y'all do know this nigga be tweeting, right? Y'all do know he be fighting out people online, right? Y'all want a president to tweet? America said yes.
I'm just saying, I'm scared, and I don't even know where the nukes can hit. People talking about Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico got the story about a hurricane, then it's gonna get nuked. Like, what the fuck, man? They won't even know if it's coming because they don't got no electricity. Like, what is happening, man? This can't be the world. We can't be okay with this.
Right.
But yet, it continues to go. But just let us make it to at least get Black Panther, hopefully season 8 of Game of Thrones. But I mean, I don't want to get too greedy.
All right.
You know, I was thinking about this the other day, man. I was riding down the highway and I seen a sign that said, eat more chicken. There was some cows trying to tell me to go eat Chick-fil-A. Because, you know, they got a war on the chickens and shit. If the cows are serious about this genocide shit, y'all trying to commit chicken genocide, but y'all take Sundays off? How does that make sense?
That's a seventh Monday off.
That's a seventh less chickens dead every day, every week. That shit adds up, bro. That's why these chickens still out here winning. Cause y'all out here being lazy. Does McDonald's take Sundays off? No, they serve you them beef sandwiches every day.
365, dog.
Burger King is the king of burger. 24/7, 365. No days off. Not even fucking holidays. Chick-fil-A is lazy as shit. I can't believe. Fucking cows, man. Y'all don't really want it, man.
That's hard not in it.
Right. Y'all go, this is why y'all losing the war. Just remember that. Listen, speaking of stay woke, somebody says stay woke in the chat. Y'all ever noticed this? This is something I noticed yesterday when all the Black people was protesting the NFL, which I don't know who's winning, by the way. Can anybody tell me who's winning the protest in the NFL? Because I seen white people talk about the ratings down. We won. We proved these niggers need to stop taking a knee. And then Black people was like, we won. We proved that Kaepernick needs to have a job and Black Lives Matter. And I'm like, I don't know what side am I on? I forgot. I don't even know. Like, I don't even know who I'm supporting anymore. Mm-hmm. Who's winning the war? What are we measuring? Everybody claiming victory, everybody claiming defeat. I don't know. Alyssa Milano said on Twitter yesterday, the way to win is to watch as much football as possible. I seen people say, you're helping Trump win if you take a knee and you protest. You're helping Trump win if you don't watch the games. You're helping Trump win if you watch the games. I don't know anymore. Okay, I'm confused. I just want to watch good football.
Good football. That's
all. You want to know what? Yesterday, it was real good, y'all. Not even joking.
Okay, it was good yesterday.
The first week I said that I was really just joking. But yesterday, them some good ass games.
Yeah, it was a few ass whoopings, but overall they were good.
Yesterday was really the first day of the protest of the boycott, because if you missed them games yesterday, you did miss some good TV. Like, before that it was like, man, these games fucking suck.
Yeah, folks was going into overtime and right shit.
Overtime, last second walk off touchdowns, motherfucking upsets. Like,
I know Aaron Rodgers out there going, how the fuck did you do that?
Right, Aaron Rodgers doing magic tricks on the field, right. Like, Tom Brady being excellent. Like, listen, I think because of the lack of preseason, it takes these teams a little longer to get into game shape.
It does.
By week three, these motherfuckers are, woo, they was going good. I don't know if they can keep it up or not. Y'all know how they do, but man, that yesterday was the first day you missed something. Anyway, my whole point about this is I noticed that there's a double standard. Like, y'all notice when the black quarterback takes a knee, all these people start talking about, it's a disgrace to the flag. This is America. It's a privilege to even play. What are you even doing out here if you don't respect your country? How dare you take a knee? Y'all notice that the way they talk about them black quarterbacks? But then if a white quarterback take a knee, they call it the victory formation. Think about that.
Ah!
Message.
Stay woke.
Stay woke. All right, man. Nothing happened in the news, really. I don't know. Let me see if anything happened. Tori, who is Kevin Hart's ex, Tori Hart's Benz got fucked up. Her $70,000 Benz got vandalized and her Instagram deleted in the midst of the Kevin Hart cheating scandal. She was out here doing interviews talking about him. Maybe Kevin hired some goons. I don't know. Maybe Kevin got a hive.
Yeah, he got high.
I don't know. She says she's being tested after having two unfortunate things happen to her in recent days. She spoke out recently about Kevin Hart's infidelity in the midst of his Enico Hart cheating scandal, saying that her $70,000 Mercedes-Benz was broken into. The 2017 Benz GLE 43 on the set of her new film, Perfectly Single. She got a film coming out? When she returned to it, it had been vandalized. Several windows were smashed in, but nothing was stolen. Details are very sketchy, but reportedly a man was seen on a bike nearby and he flashed a weapon. Additionally, Tori's Instagram was hacked and deleted, taking all 402 followers with it.
I didn't even know she was on Instagram.
I mean, she kind of famous, you know. Yeah, I had 402,000 followers. I know. To some people, it may just be an IG, but it's not just IG to me. I talk to my supporters every day and use it as a platform to uplift and inspire people who have gone through hardships in life and thought about giving up. So I don't know. Maybe Kevin got, you put some of that money to work on their ass, you know?
I know, you never know.
You know? I hope she get her page back.
Me too.
I know Tori was, doing a thing like that, you know? I know she was on a TV show on VH1 for a little bit, but I guess that shit didn't pop off because I think it ain't coming back. That was the one that had like Neo's, that had like Neo's girlfriend on it and shit, and baby mamas and all this stuff on it. Usher's baby ex-wife.
Oh, that reality show.
Right, I don't know what happened.
Mm-mm. It was boring, y'all. I remember. Didn't we watch episode 2? That was boring.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
It's a show I remember.
And then she on Twitter she put how I prepare for Monday. Okay. So I mean, listen, it's important that her followers and her supporters see that, guys. Okay. So man, she's had a lot of work done, it seems. Yeah, all right, well, good for you, buddy. You know, those who can afford it, get it. They called this 1-800 number for Irma aid and they were offered phone sex instead.
Here's the trip. Your credit get hacked. They send you to a bogus website that takes your credit, that takes your information and actually steal your credit if your credit wasn't already stolen. And then you call the 1-800 number for help. They was like, you want to fuck? No, I want help. I can help you. No, not that type of help.
Mm-hmm. Folks dealing with damaged roofs in the wake of Hurricane Irma didn't get the type of help they were looking for when they called the original helpline number tweeted out by the Federal Emergency Management Agency's Region 4 office.
And so this Wednesday. Is somebody that should know the number.
Mm-hmm.
Did they just call and was like, what's the last number I called and posted it out?
Instead, they got an offer for free phone sex. Oh, actually not free, just phone sex. Welcome to America's hottest talk line, guys. Hot ladies are waiting to talk to you. Press 1 to connect, free now. By the way, y'all know phone sex line, like, this is how you know men ain't shit. Phone sex lines ain't never like, ladies, welcome to the phone sex line. Only men are dumb enough to call phone sex lines and give up that money.
That's the only reason why they still exist, because of men. Women don't call them.
Yeah, and I'm sure someone's gonna write in with, I used to be a phone sex officer and a woman called. Congratulations, you found the one. Don't write me.
Because most of your clientele, 99.9999% is dicks.
Who's still doing this?
Somebody, and they must be making money, because them numbers is still around.
Maybe old people or something. Like, I'm just trying to think, in the age of the internet, with all this interactive technology and Skype and
it gotta be
women that, there's like little webcam girls and shit that you can go see. Like, there's still somebody paying just to hear somebody talk.
For some people I guess the phone thing actually just must be their kink, like just to actually talk over the phone.
Maybe truckers or something.
Yeah, people that travel. Yeah,
I just can't. That's just weird. But I remember I interviewed a phone sex operator person for a Medium talk, and that was wild.
To hear the things that people request and all that stuff. It's just really interesting once you talk to those people. And for most of those people, you know, most of the people that call are men.
Said a recording when those affected by the storm dialed in the 1-800-ROOF-BLU. The number FEMA originally tweeted for its Operation Blue Roof effort to put the sturdy blue tarps on damaged roofs across southern Florida. If you're dealing with a damaged roof, by all means call 1-800-ROOF-BLU. The number FEMA is publicizing now. The original tweet was quickly deleted and replaced by an updated tweet, but not before the puzzled masses had already dialed in. There was a different type of assistance, an anchor for Fort Myers NBC affiliate said during a broadcast. It was a mistake anyone could make, someone replacing the less lascivious, more helpful 1-888 prefix, which is run by FEMA, with the 1-800, which indeed offers a whole other kind of service. I guess if you're calling because you're wet and, you know, you're dealing with getting blown, it's kind of the same. Word to the wise is advertise up front for free, but it's not the phone sex, not the FEMA aid.
Is what is it, $9.99 for the first minute, $0.99 for each additional minute?
Yeah, I feel bad for the people that called and, you know, had to deal with, like, they really had problems. It's like, damn, what's wrong with FEMA today? This is weird.
FEMA sexy? What the hell is this?
Right. Hey, big boy, how you doing? Bad. My roof got blown off. I need to get one of them blue tarps. And, oh, you want to lay me down on a tarp? What else you want to do to me? I want you to lay down. I want you to lay a tarp down on my roof.
You're right.
Oh, you freaky. Right. You want to do it on the roof all night long.
No.
For any additional minute, it'll be $5.99. Yeah, but I bet they figured it out somehow.
I thought no people's like, hey, dog, this ain't the right number.
Right. You know, looking at this, press 2 for anal does not seem like something FEMA would be into.
No!
I think I might have the wrong
press
number.
Press 5 for BDSM. BDSM, right. But what did that got to do with blue tarps, my baby? I don't know. Press the number.
Right. I like to speak to FEMA. We have a lot of females here, sir. No, FEMA. There's nobody named FEMA here, but I can be FEMA if you need me to.
Come on!
Let's see what else. Let's get into some other stuff. What other segments we got? There is we can do this. We haven't done this in a while.
Something I wanna ask you. there's something that I wanna know. And to this question, you have the answer. So tell me what I wanna know. Do you wanna funk? Do you wanna funk? Won't you tell me now? Won't you tell me now? If you wanna funk, let me show you how. Do you wanna funk with me? Do you wanna funk with me?
Marriage equality, I'm sorry, it's LGBTQ news for those that don't know. Marriage equality, the UN criticizes Australia for refusing same-sex divorce. You know, it's funny. Years and years and years ago, I made a joke on this show. I think we even named the episode of the show same-sex divorce or something like that, a divorce equality. And I made a joke, was like, oh yeah, if Republicans really want to make gay people not want to get married, you shouldn't go after gay marriage, you go after gay divorce. Don't let them motherfuckers get divorced and then all of a sudden nobody wants to get married if I can't opt out of this shit. That's the true equality, is being able to make the mistake of getting married, not to just be able to get married,
right?
But to be able to back out that shit. And that was just a joke, obviously facetiously said and sarcastically.
Well, come on.
But Australia is stopping same-sex couples who get married overseas from getting divorced, those laws violate international human rights obligations, the United Nations has found. The UN Human Rights Committee ruled an Australian woman, Dr. Fiona Kumari Campbell, has been denied equal protection of the law because Australia does not allow her to end her legal Canadian same-sex marriage. The UNHRC ruling determined that in the absence of more convincing explanations from the state party, the committee considers that the differentiation of treatment based on her sexual orientation to which the author is subjected regarding access to divorce proceedings is not based on reasonable and objective criteria and therefore constitutes discrimination under Article 26 of the Covenant.
Come on.
Article 26 of the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights says all people are equal before the law and are entitled to equal protection of the law. The UNHRC has recognized the unacceptability of differential treatment between different categories of foreign marriages, said Kumari. This is another nail in the coffin of Australia's prohibition on marriage equality. Yeah, well, you know what? That's good news. Now, of course, that didn't sound too good for Australian government, that they still fighting against marriage equality that hard. LGBTI rights activist Rodney Croom said that this was a timely reminder to the Australian government that banning same-sex couples from marriage is a breach of human rights. It is, man. Like, and I just don't understand why we're fighting against consenting adults who want to get married because they love each other. What's the problem? I don't understand how that affects anybody but those people involved in the marriage. You know, meet Elaine Lancaster, Miami Beach's Trump loving drag queen. This is like, I wonder if this is our version of Coon, but you know, like what does the drag queen culture think about Elaine Lancaster in general? I can't imagine it's too kind.
Mm-mm.
I would imagine that that's a very progressive space, but that's my guess only. Elaine Lancaster is one of South Florida's famed drag darlings. The queen is known for her work in the community that has spanned over two decades. Currently, she hosts Voss Events' popular drag brunch every Sunday at Senior Frogs in South Beach. She is also one of Donald Trump's loudest supporters. Why? A lot of people love Donald Trump that he don't love back. A lot of people. Lancaster just participated in a panel discussion on CNN, chatting about her support for the POTUS. Out of drag, Lancaster was picked as a poster child for the Gays for Trump movement. Since her support has hit major news outlets, she has received quite a bit of backlash from her own LGBTQ community, and lost a few gigs as well. We chatted with Lancaster about the backlash. She exclusively tells us, This is why I go to unicornbooty.com, okay? Because
that site made me laugh every time.
Because they get the hard-hitting interviews. Come and they talk to the sources, okay? They don't just talk about it. They talk to it. I was fired from emceeing this year's Gay Pride main stage, which is done for the previous 3 years, which I had done for the previous 3 years. It was agreed that I was to do it this year till online hate fest. Is that what it was?
Other than people are like, bitchy against everything I stand for, even against you. What the fuck's wrong with you?
People love to call a backlash a hate fest. A hate fest campaign was launched calling for my disassociation with Gay Pride or any other LGBT organizations, and the president, Dave Cook, took me off being the MC.
I would too.
I had a lucrative liquor endorsement that was rescinded. They've come hard for my Sunday MCing gig at Senior Frog, Miami Beach, but the promoter and the company does not succumb to threats, bullying, or discrimination.
For now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like, they'll support you until they start losing money. They'll support you till people stop showing up.
Yeah, the community not gonna want to see it, more than likely. She has been told, I think anyone who supports Trump should be beaten, or that I'm racist. I can't see how they connect the dots. Historically, yes, the Republican Party has had many problems with discrimination and division, but Donald Trump was pro-marriage equality before anyone else was. Hillary only did it when she had no other choice, but they want to demonize him at every turn.
You're delusional.
What date was this? Was this after the ban on transgender people? July 24th. I don't even remember. I don't know if it was. Economy and employment are issues that Lancaster cites as her number one reason why she is supporting Trump. The economy is doing record numbers because people are saying that it's because of Obama. No, it builds from the future. People feeling optimistic about the future, so they are pouring into the American economy and spending money.
No, Donald Trump's policies haven't even came into effect. What the hell are we talking?
It's a way of giving this white dude credit for what you would have given Barack Obama credit for. Because, I mean, before we even say the economy's doing good, it has been doing good, if that's what you're measuring it by. You know, like, we're not, there's other measurements involved in all this shit, but in general, if you're measuring it by any standard that you're saying Donald Trump is quote unquote doing a good job, then those are all measurables that Obama was killing too. So what are you talking about? Lancaster believes that the American economic issues have destroyed small town America, remembering her mother's small town in Georgia that was once a vibrant town. 10 years ago, everything closed. I used to travel all around the country for my work. I see places that I used to shop. The wig shop that has been there for 40 years today is gone. There are a real working class struggles out there. I have always supported the worker, middle class worker, and I think Trump was the better candidate for them. When asked if she has any regrets for being so outspoken, Lancaster insists she made the right choice. I have to double down now. I can't say that I made a mistake. If people weren't so hysterical the day he was elected, they screened impeachment. Those are the words of Maxine Waters, who can't even put together a coherent sentence. Yeah, I mean, guess the race on this drag queen.
Right. Oh, why? Just from you talking about it, I might be wrong, but where's these black drag queens out here talking about they supporting all Trump?
Lancaster was also part of a reality series, The Real Housewives of Miami, as an auxiliary character. Even though part of fame is due to her appearance on that franchise, she agrees that reality television is what has ruined the civic discourse in America. But isn't that how Trump was elected? Trump's rhetoric during the campaign may have had been some fuel for that, but when you pull back and try and have a civil discourse with the nation, all they want to figure out is how they can throw a wrench in this man's presidency and get him impeached. There are lobbyists at work because he is trying to drain the swamp. There are forces at work trying to get him impeached. Drain the swamp. I don't live in a gay ghetto. I support what's right, and that's from my heart.
Yeah. Bought in hook, line, and sinker. Everything he been putting out.
Ain't whiteness grand.
Come on, watch whiteness work.
No one owes you anything, not your family, not your country, except safety, security, and an equal opportunity. I came to Miami Beach in 1997 with nothing. I worked hard for years. I had obstacles all on the way, and I overcame them all to get where I am today. Many of Elaine Lancaster's loudest critics don't challenge her stance on the policy and instead attack her physical appearance. They don't attack me about the substance issues like policy. They come for the superficial and physical. They tell me you have a botched facelift or you look like a clown in that tie. These people are the segment of the gay community who still beg and plead for equality. Now that we have everything, the oppressed are no longer oppressed, so now they become the oppressor.
Now that we have everything,
we have marriage equality. There's still some wordplay issues. Housing rights need to be worked on. I used to go to the gay bar to seek solace when I was younger, to find people who I had something in common with. Now I don't want to go anywhere because I get pushed and shoved when I do.
Right, because nobody wants you there.
I mean, that's assuming that they're telling the truth.
Right. If you're telling the truth, but if you are, don't nobody want you there.
Mm-hmm. Lancaster thinks part of the outpouring of hatred for her political views stem from historical resentment at her success as a drag queen. Jesus. So it's really just y'all hating. Y'all hating. That's it.
Not that I'm racist, you know, because the thing is, and I've always said this, when it comes to rights, particularly white people's rights, LGBTQ, gay marriage was the goal for so many people, and they felt like once we got the right to be married, fuck that other shit y'all talking about, you know. And that's real, and people are like, nah, that's other shit that needs to be addressed too, but you're white, so why should you care?
Yeah. That's terrible. I'm not reading anymore.
Oh yeah, that's also horrible. 100.
Yeah, that piece was a little too sympathetic for my taste. I know you want to be fair and everything, but it was a little bit too much like, well, poor her getting picked on by these people.
Mm-mm. Like, them people don't have and deserve the right to be mad and deserve the right to protest you and not support you.
His policies are actually hurting people. And you support his policies.
People are dying.
So you don't get to just come up in people's face and calm down and be cool with that. You know? Like, the people that are affected by those policies... Sorry. The people that are affected by those policies are under no obligations to make you feel comfortable in their spaces.
Nope. They have the right to reject you, too.
Right. Thomas Dekker, best known for his role in Heroes and Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles, has come out as gay. The actor, 29, opened up about his sexuality 1 week after he said someone tried to out him. My sexual orientation once again came into question this week when a prominent gay man used an awards acceptance speech to out me. While he did not mention me by name, the explicit details of his reference made it easy for the public and media to connect the dots. Dekker wrote in a letter shared on Instagram and Twitter. Though he did not mention the name of the specific person, the star was referencing to Heroes co-executive producer writer Brian Fuller, who received the Outfest Award Achievement Award on July 6th. In his acceptance speech, Fuller recalled the experience of trying to introduce gay characters on the now canceled NBC show. Had a brief stint on Heroes where the gay character was headwashed after the actor's management threatened to pull him from the show if he, the character, not the actor, were gay. The character became straight and the actor came out as gay, Fuller said. In 2007, Dekker confirmed the controversy surrounding his hero's character sexuality in a MySpace bulletin, writing, damn, 2007 MySpace, woo, blast to the past
for real.
I would like it to be known by everyone that I have played a gay character 3 times before in my career, even one when I was 12, which is on YouTube, one when I was 15, and another when I was 17. I nor my manager have ever had any kind of problem with creating a gay character. What transpired on Heroes is something far more complicated than anyone being afraid to make Zach homosexual. In his letter on Thursday, Dekker also revealed that he's newly married. While it's an odd situation, I thank him because it presents a prime opportunity for me to publicly say that I'm indeed a man who probably loves other men. In fact, this April, I married my husband. I cannot be happier, he said, he shared. Well, I mean, that is fucked up if he inadvertently or purposely outed him in the speech. Which is wild that this still has to be a thing. You know, and for, especially for actors that are gay, like, you then have to worry about being cast as gay only from this point on. You know, like, it was a big thing for Zachary Quintos to keep getting work and playing straight characters even after he came out when he was Siler in Heroes, you know, cause now he's like Spock in Star Trek and he has a love interest with Uhura. He was, the bad guy in Hitman or whatever, like, but you know, a lot of times it's like, oh, this guy's gay, well, we can no longer make him a leading man that is having sex with women, because you know, we ain't never gonna make a leading man gay. right? Like, we're never gonna have a transporter, and the transporter fucks the dude. Like, that's his boyfriend he's saving. Like, we're never gonna make that movie. So in addition to that, you can't even be a gay actor and get this role. I mean, people speculate about Tom Cruise for years at this point, John Travolta for years at this point. And if they're quote unquote in the closet, then you know we all are wink wink nudge nudge going, yeah, because we know the second that you actually admit it or actually is confirmed, everyone's gonna go, well, how you gonna make Tom Cruise Mission Impossible? Like, because why? A gay man,
the same shit he was doing before. Like, right, well, I mean, there's nothing to change. Maybe that's me. I don't understand, can you act or not? That's the bottom line to me. Because the thing is, for straight people, like, and it's very frustrating because you say if somebody comes out as gay, people are like, they can only play gay roles, when most of their time they play straight roles. Like, I don't understand this. And when straight people play gay roles, they get all types of praise for being the best shit ever, when you're like, there are gay people that can actually play these roles that, you know, are not typecast. It becomes very complex, you know, because it should be fluid. Whoever best fits the role should get the part, regardless of what your sexuality is. Like, I don't understand.
Well, the problem is, it still benefits people, you know, that are straight. Like, it still has that privilege, you know, when, like you said, when it is a role where the character is gay or trans or something, we put a straight person in those roles, right, and then we give them all the accolades and awards and we call them brave and all this shit. But at the same time, if you come out and you're like, I am a gay actor, yes, there are gay characters that are written. I don't want to always play one.
Correct.
So it's a catch 22, right? Because I don't think it would be any more fair to be like, I mean, and maybe it's that thing where we need to get there so it don't matter, but it wouldn't really be fair to be like, every time a character is gay on the show, we cast a gay person. Cause then gay actors do become typecast as, well, we play gay parts and that's it. I'm gay, so I play gay parts. That's the only way. In the same way that I judge that dude that quit True Blood because he didn't want to do gay love scenes with Lafayette, Nelson, what's his name? Like, because he didn't want to do those gay love scenes, I was like, well, that just makes him less of a good actor. Cause you don't have to be gay to play that part. No. Just like, you can be gay and play a straight role. I don't, like, it shouldn't have to come down to just this, but I do think people do get typecast. I do think people stop getting work. Oh, Ellen really? Page was blowing the fuck up. She came out as gay. I don't know that, what does Ellen Page do now? You know what I mean? Like, she was in Inception and shit. She was in, all those X-Men movies. I don't know the last time I seen Ellen Page. You know, like, I do think that subconsciously or consciously, like, Hollywood then goes, oh, you're gay? Well, we can't be giving you these roles. You know, the audience knows. What are they gonna do?
The fuck, go to watch the movies?
Go to watch the movie.
But people are stupid. But you're always gonna have people protest no matter what the fuck you're doing. Like, if it's good, people will take their asses to the movies.
Yeah, like, well, didn't we go see, I mean, because the audience went and saw all the Star Trek movies.
All of them.
Nobody was walking around like, but Zachary Quinto, he gay. We can't possibly, how I'm supposed to believe Spock, an alien that kisses, how I'm supposed to believe Spock, an alien with no emotions and pointy ears that lives on a starship, in a galaxy far away. How am I supposed to believe that this dude could possibly kiss a woman? I can't believe that if I know an actor is real life. Like, no. I can believe a spaceship can travel at warp speed and set phases to stun. I can believe all that shit.
Yeah, because my thing is, you're telling a story, so everything in that area is somebody wrote that. Like, so, like I said, because I'm looking at it very simplistic, you're gonna have people, regardless, that's just gonna have a problem with gay people. And we just gonna have to get over that and keep it pushing. And hopefully them people fade away and die out. If they don't, they're just gonna be mad and protesting forever. Because as far as I'm concerned, if you can play the role, I don't care if you're gay, straight, trans, bisexual, that don't matter to me. Like, and because I'm more open than, I guess I'm more open than a lot of people. So I didn't see people standing outside of Star Trek protesting.
Well, the thing is, it does matter to people. It's kind of like that thing, like, I don't see color, we just need colorblind casting. No, it does matter. Like, I don't want to go as far as to say it doesn't matter. Huh?
I say it don't matter to me.
It matters to me too. It matters to me though. Like, I think it's weird that we have a show like Transparent where the main actor keeps getting all these fucking awards.
Yes.
But we're not hiring trans people to portray what your actual life would be like.
Correct.
From your experience. That is weird to me. I think it's weird when we have straight people play gay people so that we end up with everybody on the show is straight. You know, but we don't really, you know what I'm saying? Cause we don't do it with leading characters. So we don't have, well, Oliver Queen will never be played by a gay man. So then when you do have characters on the show, they're like, okay, well, this character is gay. Curtis is gay.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be like, yeah, well, let's hire a straight actor to play gay. So in the end, like with us not seeing it or not caring in quote unquote for the most part, it does end up still lending itself towards that straight privilege. It's still, okay. Like I said, it's to me, it's a lot like when we say, I don't see color or I don't care about the race of da 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 da. But it's like, well, look at how it is already. Obviously we should care and we need to care and be like proactive towards evening it. Like we can't just not care, unfortunately, because it's already fucked up. You see what I'm saying?
Correct. And the thing is, when I say I don't care, it's not like I don't care because I don't care. Like
I know what you're saying. Right. I'm saying even without that, even correct. with what you're saying, trying to come from a good place,
right?
The ultimate result is still like this inaction.
Yeah, it's still harmful, and that's the thing. Like I don't want to be harmful. Well, then in these instances, it does matter because it's like if somebody is gay and they go for the role and they get the role, great.
Right.
But my thing, it needs to be more even out.
Yeah, when we hear, but like I said, when we hear like someone say, I don't care if you're black, green, or purple, you know, we already go, so this motherfucker's probably racist.
Right.
Right, because it's already like that. You don't care because like you're not caring, you think makes you a good person, but in this instance, it's fucked up. So it's like, right. If I walk in the house and there's fucking dirt all over the house and you made the dirt, you fucked up all, like the dirt is your fault, right? And my brother's in the house and he ain't do shit, he didn't do nothing wrong, you made all the mess, and I walk in and say, I don't care who cleans it up, like my brother's gonna be like, what the fuck is this? Like, no, you should care. I didn't do this, you know,
right,
what I mean?
Right.
So it's just interesting, the double standard, because like I said, he was in a situation where you know, allegedly, now he says it wasn't this way, the producer says it was, but allegedly they wanted to not make the character gay even though the actor was gay because they didn't want to typecast the actor. It's like, well, if I play, because like, so like, even trying to navigate this system, you end up being in a bad position where it's like, I'm gay, I can't live my truth in real life, and I'm scared to do it on the screen.
Right, and the problem boils down to that typecasting, and that typecasting is a systemic problem,
right,
which is a lot bigger than the roles, and if the role is straight or gay or bi, right, or transsexual, like
crossover don't never cross over to them.
Come on, and I agree, and the thing is, like I said, I don't want to sound harmful, and right. So my thing is that you need to make it even. You know, I think that if you have a role that is gay, I think that I'll just say gay people should have the first crack at it, period. Like, you should have the first crack at it.
It takes a concerted effort, the same way it took a concerted effort to make sure that gay people don't get jobs,
right,
and to make sure that people have to stay in the closet. It takes a concerted effort to do that too,
right,
because it does have to, it does take like I said, Ellen Page having a lot of work, all of a sudden comes out, she don't get a lot of work. What message does that send to all the other people that are like, ooh, I was gonna come out, but I mean, how many stars do we have? And I'm not saying you owe anybody coming out, that's not my point, but I'm just saying, how many stars do we have where we have wink wink nudge nudge, everybody knows so and so gay? Like, we have so many stars like that, and it's hard for me to imagine that it's not societal pressure that makes it just happens. Everyone who's private about their love life is probably gay, you know what I'm saying? It just happens to be this thing where when we have, oh, so-and-so's very private about their love life, we also have the, like, isn't that person gay? I heard they were gay. Didn't they take a picture with her and a woman on the beach? Or doesn't she have a long time girlfriend? And it's like, they don't talk about that.
Right.
You know, Jodie Foster gives like a very vague acceptance speech for like her awards and stuff where you're like, is she okay? Is she coming out? Is she not? Is she talking about being an ally? There's all these rumors about her and all this shit. And all I keep thinking is, in my mind, even Jodie Foster would have to pay a price. A person like Jodie Foster, who everybody knows her name, even she has a price that she would have to pay to come out and say this shit. You know, the actor from Arrow, you know, Colton, the one who played Roy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was like, yo, I'm playing this action hero character and shit. Comes out of the closet, gets super stressed out, gotta take a break from the show. Like, this shit is still fucking with people's lives and careers. And, like, this was just another example of that. Like, that shit happened in 2007. And this dude just now talking about, well, I guess I gotta come out because this dude outed me at the Gay Awards. You know what I mean? Right. Like, damn.
And the thing is fucked up. And it also comes to I look at this the same way I look at when it comes to black people. You need more gay roles. They need to be more stuff written for and by gay people. They need to be in the writer's room. They need to be behind the camera. They need to be in the crew. Like they need to be in these places in order for these changes, in my opinion, to happen.
I was gonna say, it's weird though, because people consider Hollywood to be very progressive, very pro LGBTQ rights, very, like, people consider it that on the outside looking in, right? Like, whenever people start talking, these liberal Hollywood, you know, like, they start talking, they want to slam this gay shit down my throat and all this shit. But then you look at the pressures that people have to deal with, and you're like, how progressive is it if I have to have a private love life, everybody that just happens to be gay is either out or they have to have a private love life,
right?
And you know what I mean,
right? And it's almost like that double standard where, right, we allow you to come in, but what you better not do is rock the boat. Well, then, right, that's a systemic problem also, right? Like, I'm here, I want to make changes, I want to reach out, I want to bring people up, because who knows how many projects, how many wonderful, beautiful projects are written out there by marginalized LGBTQ folks that Hollywood never thinks of. We get the same fucking retrucked movies that nobody want to goddamn see in flops. And you're like, well, y'all do know it's shit out here to be made, but y'all won't even give it a chance.
Yeah, I mean, look at Moonlight last year. You know, like, we wouldn't have got that movie if not, and that was made, I think Barry Jenkins is, I think he's straight. So, like, those are characters, that's a story where it's like, listen, we are going to seek out people to play this role. They are, you know, we, like, our goal is to be like, this is a LGBTQ type story. This is a gay story of a gay black man or whatever. We're purposely telling that story. But imagine if they went into that and they said, and we want to make sure that all the actors who get the part are gay. Like, that's that extra level, you know? Right. I don't know that we'll ever reach that or not. Just because I think the double standard is just constantly there. It's gonna always be, straight people are lauded as heroes for playing gay. Gay people are have to be in the closet to play straight. And if they're out of the closet, then it becomes a, I don't believe him, I don't believe her, this is fake. It becomes kind of a running joke that this person plays someone straight. And until we do away with that, it's gonna be just like that guy who, his fucking manager was the one, like, you know, his agent is allegedly is the one going, yeah, make this role straight.
Right. And it's also one of the things too, just like any other marginalized group, you need oversaturation, because the thing is, when you have something that's oversaturated, you don't have people clamoring for those few spots. You don't have people fighting. There ought to be so much LGBTQ stuff out there that it's allowed to flop. There ought to be so much stuff out there where it's allowed to be mediocre. It's allowed to be all right. You know, everything that's put out doesn't have to be excellent. It doesn't always have to have that gold star. To me, that's once you come out to that true equality when it comes to this stuff. And it's one of those things where, like you say, it's gonna require everybody to go the extra mile. And something else two, it's gonna require straight people sometimes to give up their roles.
That's the part.
And that's the problem.
Yeah, that's the hard part of all this. No, right. It's the same thing when we want diversity for racial shit. Like,
come on.
Somebody got to come off the podium. Somebody got to not give an award. Like, it's cool that Jeffrey Tambor would shout out, hey, we need more roles for trans people, da da da, while accepting an award for a character that's like, it's that double standard that's there that I just don't know that people are going to get out the way to make sure that this happens. All right, let's move on to fucking with black people.
We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people.
That's right, guys. It's time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game, we go all around the globe. We find different articles, make us feel fucked with, from 0 to 100, intervals of 25. We score them and on how much we feel fucked with. And today's competitors, everybody. Everybody's still playing the game, guys. White supremacist fired after tricking an Arkansas cafe into hosting a right-wing extremist meetup. An Arkansas man told his boss he wanted to use the cafe she owned to host a meeting for this conservative group he was a member of. First of all, that's a no.
Anyway,
even if it was just like the nice Republicans of America, no. Once she found out they were flying Nazi flags, she sent him packing. According to the local news station, KNWA, Billy Roper, a former employee of Conway, Arkansas's Mean Bean Cafe. It was very mean that day. A lot of mean beans in there. Mm-hmm. Not no brown beans. I'm talking them white beans. Navy beans. The only ones allowed in that day. Mm-hmm. No black eyed peas. No brown beans. Definitely no refried beans. Mexican jumping beans, you better jump your ass back across that wall. These white beans only means but yeah, he was fired by Darnell Veckler after images of him hosting a neo-Nazi meeting in her shop was posted by the anti-racist Boston Mountains ARA group on their Facebook page.
Seem like that bad publicity. That's what that boiled down to.
Recently, a longtime employee asked if our business could be used after hours for a political meeting of a conservative group. Here's the thing. If you can't tell me what the conservative group is, they can't meet.
For the name, so I can Google, look it up. Right. Something.
What's the name of the group? Uh-huh. Did not think you would ask that. Never mind. We don't need to meet here.
We'll go good. Somewhere else.
Yeah, we'll find somewhere else to go. Nah, seriously, I'd just like to know the name of the group. No, I'm good.
Who knows? She may have actually just didn't give it to her.
We questioned the employee in detail about the purposes of the gathering. We were assured that no extremist or other hateful views would be exchanged, as we do not condone that.
Right.
Yes. Hey, man. Hey, now listen. Billy, I hate, this is embarrassing to me too. I hate to ask, but you ain't gonna have no hate group meeting, when we let you use the shop, are you? Nope. Nah, boss. I don't even know what make you ask that.
Yeah, another reason why you got fired, cause she looking like you lied to me.
Ain't gonna be no like swastikas and shit, is it? I'm just checking. Cause you know why? Cause the guy, they know this guy. They work with him. Right. They know Billy got the tendency. They know some of his offhanded comments.
They have people complain.
The fact that you even would have to ask specifically is not a hate group. Says a lot about conservatives and says a lot about Billy.
Right,
because if I say, can I use the restaurant for a meeting afterwards, nobody's gonna be like, it's not for a hate group, is it? Like, they gonna know, they gonna be like, well, what is it for? It's like, oh, it's for a comic book night or whatever the fuck. But it's not, they wouldn't even, it wouldn't even cross their mind to be like, now this ain't one of them Gamergate meetings, is it?
Right.
At any rate, she says she went on to write that her mistake was trusting an employee who in hindsight should not have been trusted. We are appalled that the employee hijacked our business to provide a platform for hate, and we absolutely denounce it in all forms of hate. Boston Mountains ARA, the group that posted the images taken from inside the cafe, linked to a Southern Poverty Law Center report on the now fired Roper that claimed that he is the uncensored voice of violent neo-Nazism. He was reportedly worked to unify hate groups for years and is the identitarian ideology that believes in protecting white people by committing genocide against other races. Oh, so not a good guy. 0 to 100, Karen.
Oh, 100 and 100 for the chop on the two.
For the owner?
Yes.
Why did you get an owner 100?
He said he had a conservative group. Mm-hmm. You already knew this nigga was racist. You should have said no. You knew Billy was racist for years. He's been back there in the back flipping fries, calling people niggas for years. And you ignored it, bitch. You get 100 too. You understand something because it affected your business.
Mm-hmm. You know what?
If it don't make dollars, it don't make sense. You losing money. So that's why you said, but like this, if they hadn't took them pictures that came out, they wouldn't have said a motherfucking thing. You get 100.
I give it 100 too then. That's a good point, Karen. They definitely already knew.
They knew!
A rapper receives death threats after a newspaper falsely accuses her of burning a Confederate flag at a concert. Mississippi-born hip-hop artist Genesis B made headlines last year for a controversial performance featuring a Confederate flag, but after a local newspaper claimed she burned one on stage at a New York City show, racists began sending her death threats. In an article about B's participation in a documentary about peaceful protests of the Mississippi Confederate-inspired flag, the Biloxi-based Sun Herald newspaper claimed in their headline, B burned the Confederate flag in New York. In reality, B wore the rebel flag as well as a noose during the performance, and according to the New York Daily News, audience members encouraged her to burn the flag, but she merely threw it on the ground and let them have at it. The headline error is now deleted. The article didn't appear to have been corrected before the article went to print, and B said that in response she received death threats. The threatening comments were posted on a Facebook page of the Delta Flaggers, a pro-rebel flag group that include calls for B to be shot and burned in lieu of the flag. Last year, B also received death threats in response to her Confederate flag wearing protest shortly after she performed with it. 0 to 100.
That's 100. I'm fuck with.
All right, I give it 100 as well. It's so weird that traitorous flag would make people want to kill somebody over it.
It's about heritage, not hate, though.
Heritage, not hate.
And I will sue whoever wrote that false article about me. I'll sue the fuck out of you.
White people love flags. Louisiana high schoolers punished for wearing racist demon chasing niggers shirt. White students at Ardmore High School in Ardmore, Louisiana came under fire for sharing a picture wearing racist shirts in a Snapchat post on Wednesday. The shit reportedly read, "Demon chasing niggers." What does that even mean? Does anybody know what that means? A teacher from the school located in Limestone County reported the incident to the school's administration. Upon discovery, the controversial clothing was seized from the students immediately. The students' actions are a violation of the core values of our school system and do not blah 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 blah. We hold our students to the highest bullshit that we are not going to enforce and do anything about. We remain committed to the safety of we have rules and regulations on preventing some bullshit like this from happening, but it don't stop nothing. We will continue to take every appropriate measure to ignore this bullshit and can let it continue to happen and make sure the schools are a safe place for these white kids to continue to be racist.
Right, that's all I heard.
The students who are believed to be minors received an appropriate punishment for their actions.
What's appropriate?
I would like to know as well, Karen.
Sit down in the office and talk to you. What's appropriate?
Y'all just gonna throw that right there. Ready for my salad? Y'all just gonna throw that right in front of our salad. Y'all just gonna appropriate punishment. No details will be provided. despite the request of the International Business Times.
So nothing. I get you.
What are the details?
We ain't got nothing to give you.
100 for me.
Mm-hmm.
What does that shirt even mean? Demon chasing niggers? I don't. And Snapchat gonna be the death of these little motherfuckers. They really think that shit not on the internet forever just because some.
Just because they said it disappeared in 24 hours.
Right. Bullet holes and rosé, exploding black plane for profit. So Becca Brennan, we talked about this earlier. She's a woman that had a New York bar that she opened where they shot holes in the wall and they were selling 40s, and there was a protest outside of her bar.
Right, the one that she made the shit up.
There was no shooting. She tried to basically capitalize off of, hey, we're gentrifying this area and this is the hood, guys. White people come here and buy beers and look at the bullet holes. These niggers put them in there. And it's all fake shit because, you know, you move into this neighborhood that black people live in, you associate it with crime because you think it's a good ha-ha funny joke. And the community was like, get the fuck out of here. Well, she plastered over the holes in the wall that caused a storm of controversy when she referred to them as bullet holes in a press release. The repairs happened late Tuesday night at a town hall in July. Brennan apologized for having a sense of humor, but said she wasn't going to repair the wall. But I guess that shit changed. Enough people boycotted and
Because you gotta realize it ain't all the way gentrified, so niggas are still within your proximity, and so they're gonna be out there mad every day till you clean that shit up. They were like, look, you ain't moved us out yet.
Right. Anyway, 0 to 100. She passed up the walls.
Oh, she still get a goddamn
motherfucking 100 up from here for me too. Mm-hmm. Fuck that shit.
Right.
A racist letter was left at the first ever black business in this California town.
100.
A hairstylist in California found a racist letter waiting for her at work when she showed up Tuesday morning.
Mm, right there on Tuesday morning.
How racist you gotta be.
Overnight.
How racist you gotta be to get up early in the morning just to beat the shop owner there. You know what I mean?
That shit there. 3 a.m.
Sherry Wilson, the owner of Dream Girl Salon in the town of Elk Grove, was greeted with a two-page racially tinged. You wrote two pages?
Ooh, racially I'm tinged. I'm sending you a two-page letter. And I revealed it with the news.
With two-page racially tinged letter. The letter, which was attached to the door of the salon, threatened that her business was not welcome in the community, according to the local ABC 10 news. If my business has been there, it's the oldest business in the community. And I'm not welcome in the neighborhood. That means one of two things. A, the oldest black business is about 2 years old. That's possible. That could be it. It could just be the oldest black business in this town started in February. You know what I'm saying? It could just be something that simple. Or it means that, like, this person has been stewing for all this time and something. I don't know what it could be. I don't know what happened in America.
What happened in November? I don't know.
I don't want to point out no specific time frame that a lot of racist people start acting up, but something might have happened to make them decide it's time for your black ass to move out. Coon Hunt, the note said, coming soon. Oh, maybe it was just promoting a movie. Coon Hunt, coming soon. Starring Chadwick Boseman. I'm gonna get these coons.
I watch that. I'm in.
Playing coon. Playing the coon. Chadwick Boseman.
Yes!
Also playing the coon hunter. Chadwick Boseman.
I'm here.
The police are investigating the case as a hate crime. This is not the first incident we've had feces thrown at my door. See, this is the kind of shit. This is how you know racism is so stupid. That mean you shit or you went and found shit to throw at a door of a place you don't. Why? What could be that worth it? What did you prove? What is wrong with you?
Fear.
You know, like I hate a lot. I'm scared of things, Karen. I'm scared of things.
Well, I don't do.
I don't do stuff like this.
I don't attack.
I'm scared. You know what? I'm scared of the police.
Come on.
You know what I've never done? Taking a shit, saved it, woke up early in the morning,
come on,
and threw that shit in somebody's car. I'm good. How about I just don't like you, and I like you from way over here. I don't understand. Racism is the dumbest shit in the world. It's so dumb, all the things you could have done, irrational, illogical. Yeah, you could have done so much with your life, and here you are scooping up your own shit
or your dog shit
or some shit. You are scooping up feces to find the black business to be like, ha, nothing's happening. By the way, it's not like you know what the black people do: clean up the shit and then do everybody's hair and make the money. Okay, point proven. You know, I imagine girl, guess what? I came in here with some shit on the step. I don't know what was it. Anyway, girl. No, I washed my hands. Anyway, you want me to finish putting these braids in?
Come on. And it kept going.
Keep, like, what? It's not even really that inconvenient. It's all psychological. Anyway, we've had people calling the salon telling us niggers get out. It's a lot of things been happening over the years. Years, guys. Keep in mind, these people been dealing with this shit since they opened up their business in a world where Trump voters are just misunderstood. White working class people calling them niggas because of that economic anxiety. They just can't help themselves. It's a lot of things been happening over the years. I've been calling officers, calling the police. Nothing has happened. Of course not. It's probably them calling.
Right.
Listen, niggers, get the fuck out. Fuck you. It's gonna be a coon hunt coming tonight. We got Tamron Sherman firing. Oh, what is that? I thought I turned that off. Oh shit. Ah! Niggers, go to hell. Bye. I gotta go. Oh wait, it's y'all calling. Hold on, I'll call you. Niggers, get the fuck out of here. Go back to Africa. I hate you. You guys are the worst. Hello, this is the police. Did someone just call you and leave a disturbing hate message? We're gonna look right into that. We're investigating as a hate crime as we speak. We appreciate you calling 911. Thank you so much for this, we're gonna get right on it, okay, buddy? Don't be too upset. No, we don't even need to drive out there. We'll take your word for it. We got our best men on it. We got our best detectives on the case, and we're gonna get to the bottom of this right away. So don't you fret your nappy little head over this, okay?
Ah!
All right, buddy, you have a good one. Hello, 911. Coons, get the hell. Oh wait, hold on, who is this? What are you calling? Is this about the hair? Did I call you? You call me. I'm trying to figure out what I'm supposed to be saying right now. Anyway, she says the first time the police have decided to investigate any of her complaints is a hate crime. As the first black business owner in the town, Wilson said her hair salon remains an easy target. There's hope, though. Is there? The local community has been rallying around Wilson. Many have stopped to leave notes and flowers to support our business. Okay. Oh man, I check all them notes for handwriting. It's like, can y'all look at the evidence of these two?
Right.
0 to 100.
Oh, 100.
Yeah, that's an easy one. that's pretty much a 100. Millennials finally found a way to make vending machines racist. Twitter user slammed bodega startup company by two ex-Google employees over plan to roll out unmanned service that could kill mom and pop corner stores. Now, we're not from New York. We don't have bodegas.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I've only heard of bodegas from other people talking about them. I'm like, what the hell is a bodega?
We don't got bodegas. We got Bojangles. Okay.
Come on.
And I wouldn't trade you. Not for $1 million.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, a new Silicon Valley startup has enraged the internet with its name, logo, and purpose of the day of its launch. The company called Bodega plans to install unmanned smart pantry boxes in apartments, offices, dorms, and gyms, which would effectively kill off the very corner stores the startup is named after. Its logo is also a cat, a staple of every real life bodega.
Oh, so they stole the name Bodega and TM did it and everything?
Mm-hmm.
I'd have been mad, too.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about appropriation, that's some motherfucking appropriation.
They just straight up took that shit.
And like I said, I don't know about the history of bodegas, but normally isn't most bodegas are people outside of the United States for the most part.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, like, but not foreigners. Like, you know, like...
Oh, I don't know.
Okay. I don't know, like every time
I'm not going down this trouble with you.
Oh, no problem.
Got this. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm saying this from a very ignorant place, so you can write me in if you want to, you know.
You don't have to take this chance. You can just you could have just let it.
Oh, I can eject.
You could have. You didn't have to go down there. I don't know the rules though. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. I ain't from there.
Yeah, from my presentation, I've never seen a white person that owns a bodega.
Right. I don't know. Maybe I don't know who owns them shits. Maybe black people own them. Yeah,
true.
I don't know.
They just might have somebody else brown running it. I don't know.
I don't know what's happening up there. What I do know is white people thought it would be cute to have a company called Bodega that basically makes fun of and then competes with actual real live human bodegas and tries to put them out of business. Yeah, so basically they want to make bodegas, the mom and pop corner stores, obsolete, said a headline for an article that was written about them. The article goes on to describe the startup's plan to place polished 5-foot wide pantry boxes filled with non-perishable items you would typically pick up at a corner store in more convenient locations, like inside the apartment building. So instead of walking to the actual corner store, you walk downstairs and it's like, oh cool, I can buy some toilet tissue here now instead of going to the corner store.
Yeah, but the thing about these quote-unquote bodegas, they only gonna be in rich white folks areas. You ain't gonna put these bodegas and probably in some of the places that they probably need to be. You ain't gonna put them there.
What do you mean?
Like, okay, I go down and, you know, just pick something up and go on back. You're not gonna put them in the quote-unquote hood, is you? Like, if you're
maybe trying, though, that's what the bodegas are. That's the thing that I mean,
thought they was putting them in the rich white folks area so they wouldn't have to deal with the bodegas.
Oh, I guess maybe, yeah, I guess that could be true.
I mean, it's the white folks that be like, yeah, I don't want to go down there and deal with them bodegas. I'd rather just walk downstairs.
Eventually, centralized shopping locations won't be necessary because there'll be 100,000 bodegas spread out, with one always 100 feet away from you. So I guess the goal is not just white people, but everybody, to put all the bodegas out in every area of town.
I don't trust them.
What do you mean?
Because maybe it's just me, just my distrust. Mm-hmm. I understand it, but I got a feeling you're going to be like, yeah, 100 feet from white folks. You know, like who determined how far is 100 feet? Are you like, are you really going to put it all across the city? Are you going to do it with gentrification? You could like certain, it's going to only.
I guess I'm different. I think they would do it. And I think that's even worse.
Cause
I think putting the black side of town, people out of business, they would do that easily. You know, look what they do already. You know what I mean? Like look at every quote unquote bad neighborhood got a food desert, but what's in that food desert? McDonald's, Burger King, you know, like.
And no fresh grocery stores yet.
Yeah, right, but I'm saying like, they don't go, well, don't put a McDonald's over there because we racist.
Right.
They go put the, let's get their money too. You know, even if it hurts their community, even if it does put the grocery store in their community out of business, let's put the fucking bodega over there. If it does, you know what I mean? Like, let's put the bodega machine over in the black neighborhood too, because fuck them, that's more money we can get. You know, that's what I think. But my thing is, from my understanding, there's like some other things that happen in bodegas, like weed sales, Lucy's, buying one cigarette at a time.
Oh yeah, I had to learn what the Lucy was. Yeah,
I don't know if they're gonna be able to imitate that.
That's true, because we only about packs. I'm right. Pretty sure this Lucy's here. This is a Lucy man here somewhere. I just don't know it.
Yeah. But anyway, man, they got met with a lot of backlash and stuff.
I know they did, because there's a lot of people, like, that's their livelihood, are the bodegas. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you got 3, 4, 5, 6 generations, you know, of people.
Well,
like,
I meant on Twitter. Like, that's, you know, that's what backlash is these days. It was mostly tweets. But yeah, goodbye vacation, hello gentrification. 0 to 100, Karen.
Oh, 100.
Yeah, I gotta give it 100. The worst part to me though, if they do this, people will absolutely go, like, people talk a good game, but if it's more convenient, people will still go to that machine. Yes. Over the store. Like, people go, oh, it's lazy, it's this, I don't want this, da da da. It'll drive people out of business. That's the most dangerous part, is it is going to be more convenient to buy an umbrella from the machine downstairs than to go to the corner store and buy one.
Correct.
And that's all it's going to take.
It's convenience, right?
Because you can't survive on black market sales alone. No, I mean, maybe you can, but for the most part, you probably can't. Need somebody coming in and buy that stale bread or whatever the fuck else is in there.
Correct.
All right, let's lighten it up a little bit. Let's move into some white people news. Till Karen gets back on screen. I don't know what's going on right now. But we know when it comes to that, we gotta play a song. Gotta have our cover. Can't just go straight into white people news. Oh, there she is. She's back on screen.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Is the extra screen showing up for me? Okay, there yes. It is. All right. All right, cool. Let me make this bigger for you guys. Cause I want y'all to get the full enjoyment of this cover from this white person. And did I make it bigger?
Yes.
All right, cool. And then, oh, cool. Commercial's playing. Here we go. He's making all these sounds by recording his voice and repeating it right now. Is he in a church or something?
I don't know. A synagogue?
I don't know, right? I mean, it's a white dude, obviously, but I don't know. Like, he's in a church or something.
He over there in the... In the music section.
Mm-hmm. Now he's picking up another guitar. What he's doing is he's playing these riffs, and then he's recording them and then playing them over and over. So it's just one man, but he's making all these songs by himself, all these sounds by himself. It's gotten to be a little bit out of control. It's cool to dance.
What about the groove that soothes the new romance?
Give me a soft, subtle mix.
And if it ain't broke, then don't try to fix it. Think of the summers of the past. Adjust the bass, let the
Alpine blast.
Hop in my CD and let it run around. Put your car on cruise and lay back, cause it's the summertime.
Summertime. Just sit back and unwind.
Summertime.
Just sit back and unwind.
Yeah. School's out, but it's sort of a buzz.
But back then I didn't really know what it was.
But now I see what happened. It's the way that people respond to
summer madness.
The weather is hot and girls are dressing less and checking out the fellas and tell them who's best. Riding around in the Jeep or the Benzo, in the Nissan sitting on Lorenzo. Back in Philly we'd be out the park, a place called the
Plateau is where everybody go.
Guys out hunting and girls
do it likewise,
honking at the honey in
front of you with the light eyes.
She turned around to see what you beeping at.
It's like the summer's a natural aphrodisiac, and with my pen and pad I control this rhyme that hips you and to get you equipped to the summertime.
Summertime.
Just sit back and unwind.
Summertime.
Just sit back and unwind.
Thank you.
fall to get me the short set. Yeah, I got on sneaks, well I need a new pair. Got basketball courts and the summer's got girls there. The temperature's about 88. Hopping the water plug just for old time's sake. Break to the crib, change the clothes once more, cause you're invited to the barbecue. It started at 4. Sitting with your friends as y'all reminisce about the first growing up and the first person you kiss. And as I think back, makes me wonder how the smell from the grill could spark up nostalgia. All the kids playing out front, little boys messing around with the girls playing double dutch. While the DJ's spinning the tune as the old folks dance at the family reunion. 6 o'clock rolls around. You just finished wiping the car down. Time to cruise, so you go to the summertime hangout. It looks like a car show. Everybody come looking real fine. Fresh from the barbershop, fly from the beauty salon. Every moment from their maxing, chilling in the car they spend all day waxing. Leading to the side where you can't speed through. 2 miles an hour, so everybody sees you. There's an air of love and of happiness, and this is the Holy Rolling Stones definition of summer madness.
Oh shit. Oh wait, we out of time?
Mm-hmm. New session.
Oh damn. Well, that was fun while it lasted. Let me go to the next session. How long were we out? For a long time?
Mm-hmm. Just went out.
My bad. I was jamming too hard, y'all. The white man was getting it. I don't know why
anybody. I didn't want to interrupt your jamming.
I don't know why anybody would be upset with that one. Although some of you coons will write in and tell us how terrible that was, but y'all know y'all enjoyed it secretly. Deep down, that was dope.
Summertime.
Hey. Summertime. And just sit back and unwind.
Sit back and unwind.
All right, I invited you all. All right, but before we can get to all the good white people news, we got to talk about all the bad white people news and the things y'all did to our country with the segment we like to call That's Y'all Man, because that's y'all's president, not ours. We didn't vote for that motherfucker.
Mm-mm. No, I didn't.
South Carolina restaurant owner turns off NFL games because our president is our president, and the backlash is brutal. Yeah,
come on, I done they pay for my wings and beer and shit, and you turn off that guy? Yes, it's gonna be a goddamn problem.
He put on Facebook, the NFL will never be played at Palmetto Ale House until all players pay respect to our flag and our country. 3 exclamation points.
He must not want no business on Sundays.
McCraw, who says he served in the military, said he doesn't care if he loses business, and he believes fans should boycott NFL games. It's no concern for me. I'm an ex-military guy. My whole concept is about being local and supporting the community. It is not about supporting a concept that is disrespectful to our flag of our country. And I don't think the people that come to my bar will feel that this is disrespectful to them.
He just don't think he's going to lose as much business.
You know what, though? White people, crazy enough, they might come to his business out of protest. You know, white people spend money when they get mad. I don't know why.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I don't know if they understand the true concept of protest.
They really went and bought NFL player's jersey, made it the number one selling overnight jersey overnight because he went and stood for the anthem while his teammates stayed in the locker room. But I'm like, ain't y'all supposed to be protesting the games? Y'all watching highlights and then y'all being like, I'm gonna buy that boy's jersey. Mm-hmm.
Protesting Starbucks by buying another Grande Lappy Cappuccino.
I don't know what that drink is. Our president is our president, but I don't stand in unity with everything he says. This is a country of one people, and we need to stand for our flag. Some customers left the restaurant because football games weren't available, and many social media users expressed disagreement with McGraw. Saddens me to see that so many Americans have conflated patriotism with nationalism and dissent with disloyalty, said Facebook user Kristen Hoffer. I understand it's your prerogative to make a decision like this. I even admire it on some level because you're going to lose a lot of business, including mine. How is your business going to solve the problems that these players are protesting, said Sue Breaker-Parham. Thanks for letting me know so I won't spend a dime at a business that blindly supports white supremacy. What a crock of shit, posted Jonathan Weaver. You are trying to capitalize on this. You are sick. McCall replied to many of the comments, including the negative responses, and said millionaire athletes were out of touch with people like himself. I hope you understand that some things are bigger than watching millionaires play a sport and disrespect our flag and our country, McGraw said. How much he make a year, I wonder. Probably more than a lot of people.
Come on.
As a restaurant owner and shit, you know.
More than an average person.
A restaurant owner that can decline Sunday sales must be doing something, must be doing okay.
Right.
Trump Jr. declines Secret Service protection. says a report. It was stopping him from meeting with too many Russians, so he had to cut it out. Obama tried to give Zuckerberg a wake-up call over fake news on Facebook last year, and Zuckerberg Cuban beat him.
Yes, he did.
Said, don't worry, we're gonna fix it. I'm gonna kick all the black activists off Facebook. That'll fix it.
That will fix it, as far as you're concerned.
Ivanka Trump used personal email account for government business, says a report. Not to be outdone by that, Jared Kushner used private email to conduct White House business. But what about her emails? Can't trust her. Too shady. What about her emails? We need to investigate it. Need to call the FBI in. These motherfuckers ain't been in jail, been at the job for eight months and already doing the same shit. And the thing that's funny about this, I said it would be a double standard when it happened. It's already a double standard. Like, this shit is gonna stay in the news cycle for like a couple days because it's the Trump administration, and a new scandal breaks out every few days, every day or two.
Yes, it does.
Sometimes every hour. So it's the double standard. I hate being right about shit like this because it pisses me off, because I'm like, this is why humanity fucking sucks. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, we had a responsible thing to do last year and everybody went, fuck it. You know, like, things are going, how bad could it be? You know?
Yep, that's what a lot of people say. How bad could it be?
We spent way too much time with this, in my opinion, this false impartiality that people was, this performative impartiality of, you can't say, listen, it's a very simple choice and I'm voting for Hillary Clinton and I really don't feel like discussing it or fighting with y'all,
because it's
not about me being enthusiastic or not. It's just simply, this one motherfucker is Satan and that's it, right? Like, it was that simple. Instead, we had to do the whole hemming and hawing, and well, I do think it's shady that we don't know where our emails are. Like, it's the same importance as if this motherfucker every move ain't shady, as if it's some type of nuanced approach we can have to this shit. It just wasn't the time for that. So yeah, the fact that they're doing this shit and won't be held accountable and nothing will happen to them, won't be an investigation, it says a lot about America, and it says a lot about that double standard of, you know, that this motherfucker and his family gets,
right? And then, you know, when she writes her book and actually talks about what happened, people want to turn around and be like, shut up, bitch. Nah, she just gonna talk about it. She could talk about it to the motherfucking day she
we died. We still talking about it. The American populace still talking about it. So why would the person that had it happen to him not talk about it?
Yeah, I'm about her book because they mad. I'll get you a copy, baby.
Federal government tells 21 states election systems targeted by hackers, and that they may have actually been successful in some cases.
I believe that.
2016 election, y'all. Over 20 states were targeted by hackers believed to be Russian agents before the 2016 elections. But for many states, the calls Friday for the Department of Homeland Security were the first official confirmation of whether their states were on the list. Yeah, man. You know what? To be honest, it would make me happy if we found out that some states got hacked and that's the reason that Trump won. It would actually make me happy, dog. It would make me feel like, well, maybe I was fucking wrong. And as fucked up as America is, as fucked up and racist and as people are, they're not as racist as I thought they were. Maybe, you know what I mean? Like, maybe we find out they successfully hacked and changed some votes. I might be able to look back and be like, well, damn, Hillary would have really won. She really did win. And it really was just a matter of some hacking. Maybe I have to look at this thing a little bit differently. But I gotta wait to see some more details come out, because I just ain't feeling it right now. And of the states targeted, you know, the three that really lost it, I think it was like, what, Maryland, Pennsylvania, and it was one other state. Because it's like 70,000 votes. It came down to just those three states. Mm-hmm. On the list, Alabama, Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Illinois, Iowa, Maryland, Minnesota, Ohio, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, I know was on the list, Virginia, Washington, Wisconsin. So I think it was Michigan's not on the list. I think it was Michigan, Pennsylvania, somewhere else that was like the three. Student tries to get undocumented girl deported, and instead he gets expelled. Ha ha. I mean, good that he got expelled and everything, but damn, what a burden to live with as an undocumented person in this country, to know that motherfuckers can try to sick the government on you. People that believe in small government, right? Trump supporter Taylor Ragg thought it would be cool and prudent to report an undocumented student at his college in an attempt to get her deported. He has since been expelled from the school. The ex-Transylvania University student posted a picture of the victim's Facebook page and captioned it, "Everyone go report this illegal at my school." Ragg has deleted his account and lost his placement at the school. A spokesperson for the school confirmed his departure. Taylor Ragg is no longer enrolled at Transylvania University. Per university policy and federal laws, we cannot offer any further details to the matter. I mean, well, if anything, it's got to be targeted harassment and bullying. The girl he harassed, Paola Garcia, has made a video describing what she went through. She was sent abusive messages like, "I can't wait till your fucking cunt ass is gone. You and your nigger boyfriend need to leave. And hope you enjoy your visit back to the dirt floors of your homeland, stinky ass." These people are fucking insane, man. So yeah, I'm glad he got expelled, but you never know with this government. I still hope nothing happens to her. Prankster fools top Breitbart staff into revealing their desire to smear Ivanka Trump with a cuckolding rumors. A lot going on in that sentence. Prankster's fool top Breitbart staff into revealing their desire to smear Ivanka Trump with cuckolding rumors. Email prankster who previously tricked multiple White House officials into thinking he was other members of Donald Trump's administration recently targeted the conservative news site Breitbart, engaging in conversations with top editors about doing Steve Bannon's dirty work against his enemies. A fake Bannon sent multiple emails with Breitbart editor-in-chief Alex Marlowe, including one where he mulled over bringing forth my wrath on Ivanka and Jared. "I'd be doing this great nation a service if I did." In his reply, Marlowe promised Bannon he spooked them today, explaining his staff did 5 stories on globalist takeover, positioning you as the only hope to stop it. Now, I found out today, globalist means Jewish, apparently. That's like a thing that they, just the way that neoliberal means big moon, mean poopy head, globalist means Jewish. Marlowe also suggested he could have Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, and daughter-in-law, Ivanka Trump, out the White House by year's end, and told the fake Bannon the best conspiracy on the whole internet is Gerald is an actual cuckold. Okay, now my question, are they going full BBC with these or what? Like, how are they getting cucked exactly? You know? CNN reports, the prankster continued to push Marlowe even after the editor-in-chief asked what he thought was Bannon to talk about it in person. CNN describes the prankster's subsequent emails as increasingly absurd. The report comes as questions arise over the direction of Breitbart now that Bannon, the former chairman of the alt-right platform, is no longer in the West Wing. Bannon has indicated he plans to go to war against enemies of him and his nationalist agenda, and Breitbart has in the past proven an effective weapon for the former chief strategist. In a statement to CNN, Breitbart dismissed the prankster's emails. The obsession with Breitbart News is simply a result of our effectiveness. This time an imposter deceitfully obtained and shared with CNN's tongue-in-cheek emails that revealed that we feel globalists present a existentialist threat to the agenda that got President Trump elected, Marlowe told CNN. So they still let him go on TV and explain it, so.
Of course.
Whiteness will cover up for that. Trump looked at the solo eclipse without glasses. Alright, that's enough. Let's just, what a fucking idiot. Alright, let's get into the nice white people news. Guys, I hope you're sitting down for this one. This is some big shocking white people news that, you know, a lot of people aren't going to be prepared for. I know a lot of you guys are at work right now. You're in your modes of transportation. I think if you're in a car or something, you might want to pull over for this if you're a white person. If you're working, you might want to pause the show right now. Go to a secluded space like your car, not while you're driving, but just like go sit in your car, maybe a stall in the bathroom or something.
Yeah,
because we don't want to cause any you know, we don't want to cause like a wreck or anything like that, because this is very shocking news. Okay, guys. Breaking news. Maple pecan is coming for pumpkin spice's spot in the fall flavor wars.
Oh, shit.
I tried to tell y'all. Y'all thought, oh, well, no.
Maple pecan. Mm-hmm. That's not interesting.
Yeah, you thought, oh, no, I don't have to listen. He doesn't know what's going to shock me and my white sensibilities. Well, I hope you're alive right now. I hope you did pull over to the side of the hallway.
Oh my god.
That's white people right now. This is on uprocks.com. Look, we hit peak pumpkin spice years ago when people legitimately thought Durex made pumpkin spice condoms without any inkling of irony. We shut it down, but it continued, and now there are pumpkin spice fries at McDonald's in Japan. Whoever came up with that is the Oppenheimer of the culinary world, but we may finally have the hero we need to displace the ubiquitous fall flavoring, and it is maple pecan. On September 21st, Starbucks unveiled the maple pecan latte, a warming blend of signature espresso and steamed milk combined with notes of maple syrup and pecan, and finished with a colorful autumn topping, orange sugar.
Orange sugar, dog.
A colorful autumn topping is orange sugar. That is what it said. Anyway, joining Starbucks in the effort to push maple is Dunkin' Donuts, who started serving both hot and cold maple pecan coffee options this month. Oh, wow. This is a huge shakeup.
Come on.
I should have invested in the maple pecan market.
A what?
It goes beyond... I'm going to call my stockbroker, tell him put all the shares 100% in maple pecan.
Right.
It goes beyond drinking launches. The Chicago Tribune published data from Technomic's Menu Monitor, and mentions of maple as a flavor in a non-alcoholic beverages on menus are up 86% this year.
Good God.
Yeah, over just last year.
Oh, they ain't playing no games.
Meanwhile, pumpkin, down 20%.
Oh, shit.
Shook up the world.
For real, the spice war.
I'll take a knee over pumpkin spice. However, it seems premature to predict a full fall flavor coup. Despite the fact that pumpkin spice supply outpaces demand among consumers, the people who make the demands are a loyal bunch who roll hard for their fall flavor. Maple is good, pecans are good. Together they are wonderful, but people literally spent days watching a live stream of a pumpkin on a nest for hours as part of the launch of the PSL launch this year. Who does that? Diehard fans. Also, the hype about a new flavor of drink unseating pumpkin spice lattes comes up every year. I don't see many of us chugging turmeric lattes, do you? As with all things, time will tell, but maple pecan best not get too comfortable yet. Yeah, so just be on the lookout for that, guys. You're going to see it popping up on menus all around you.
Mm-hmm. The spice throwing contest is on and cracking, y'all.
Speaking of popping up, Anthony Weiner, once a congressman, now a sex offender, is going to jail. He's been sentenced.
What?
Yeah, he's actually going to go to jail for his offensive sex that he was doing. And it kind of makes sense. About time, to be honest with you.
Right.
I think he got 21 months or something like that, which, I mean, he is still a white man and rich and shit.
How many chances did he get?
Yeah, but for trying to fuck that 15-year-old, I mean, the motherfucker really couldn't help himself. I mean, he had to be the easiest mark in the game, so... L'Oreal heiress and the richest woman in the world, Lillian Betancourt, dies at 94 years old.
I say 19.
94 years old, guys. She's dead.
Woo, she lived a long life.
So, you guys know what that means. The boycott worked. Shout out to Rihanna. 50 Beauty killed this old white woman.
Woo-hoo!
It's a celebration.
Woo-hoo!
Take your racist ass makeup on.
Celebrate good times. Come on.
Celebrate. That was fast too. I mean, what did we boycott for, like less than a month, and she died? Mm-mm-mm. So yeah, the only daughter of the world's richest woman is set to inherit her 29 billion pound fortune. 29 billion pound fortune 6 years after winning a court battle to have her mother declared senile. So man, rich people all their family always fighting over their money, boy, when they die. You're crazy, mom. Give me your money.
Yeah, money make the world go round.
I'm not senile. Don't you dare say that to me, Sherry. Give me the fucking money, bitch. You old crazy bitch. Give me this money. I can't wait 6 months for you to die. I need it today. These hoes is not gonna pay for their own flights. Well,
apparently they're not.
Don't know what I'd do without her. Geordie Shore, star Scotty T, fueled speculation he is engaged in a now deleted Instagram post as he gushes over his new chilled out girlfriend.
Mm.
This is so white, I don't know any of those words.
Me either.
I
never know, so I don't include.
Sorry, me. Ladies. Scotty T is off the market. Eat your heart out. He is notoriously known, is he, for for having a Lothario reputation, thanks to his crude antics on MTV's hit reality series, Geordie Shore. But suggesting he is keen to rid himself from his ladies' man reputation, Scotty T has fueled speculation he and his girlfriend, who he has now been dating for several months, are engaged. The reality star, 29, shared a telling post on Instagram page on Tuesday that saw him gushing about his new love, branding her a gem alongside a diamond ring emoji. Ooh.
Not the diamond ring.
Scotty looks besotted in the intimate snap of the pair that had been taken while they posed together in the back of a car. His girlfriend, whose identity he has kept under wraps since the romance blossomed, is sat on his lap, planting a kiss on his mouth. Clad in shades and a plain white t-shirt, Scott has his arm stretched out to take the snap, while his new flame sported a black baseball cap on her head. He pinned alongside the love upshot. Don't know what I'd do without this beautiful little gem. Sick. Let me spell it incorrect. Before adding a slew of emojis, including a love heart, a rainbow, and most cryptically, a ring. Scott's Instagram upload was liked by his former Geordie Shore co-star Charlotte Crosby and had caused a stir among fans who speculated whether it meant the star is now set to wed. Adding fuel to the fire, Scott chose not to respond to the rumors, instead choosing to delete the photo with his social media page. Mail Online have contacted a representative for Scotty T. Speculation is now he's engaged, and it comes after a smitten Scott had opened up about his new relationship following his split from his ex-girlfriend Francesca Tool, whom he had dated on and off following his Celebrity Big Brother win in January 2016. Speaking to The Sun back in April, Geordie Shore is not a location like Jersey Shore, so it's like, this is Geordie like a slur? Is that like Guido or something? Like Guido Shore, and then you call him a Guido and say, I don't know what the rules are. Anyway, my new girlfriend never goes out, and she is chilled out as well. She does a dance school, and she lives in London. Sounds like a letter you write when you're in fourth grade. She don't go to this school. She goes to school across town because I made her up. While taking a swipe at his former flame, Francesca, for being too rowdy, Scott credited his current girlfriend for changing his partying ways, as he now isn't interested in going out, favoring nights in with his other half instead. Scott added, "She is the perfect girl for me. I'm in love with her. She is my best mate. I'm not interested in going out anymore because I have come away from all that." He's not the only male star from the Geordie Shore cast, who appeared to be settling down of late, as both Aaron Chalmers and Gary Gas Beetle are in serious relationships, with Gas set to become a father for the first time.
They said this is an English British show.
I assume so. Yeah. His girlfriend Emma McVeigh is pregnant with the couple's first baby, a boy, and the duo had announced the news last month, with Gaz telling fans he literally cannot wait to become a father. Of course, don't forget, he and Emma are expecting a baby together. That news came after 16 months after his ex-girlfriend Charlotte Crosby lost his baby due to an ectopic pregnancy. The heartbroken pair were devastated by the news and ultimately parted ways, with both having now moved on to new relationships. Charlotte is dating fellow reality star Stephen Bear. Everybody's dating a reality star in this joint. Anyway, that was very disappointing news to hear from Scotty T, guys. Ladies, if you've been waiting on Scotty to get out here in these streets,
Scotty T,
you'll never get none of that Scotty D now. He's wifed up for the rest of his life.
Yes, sir.
Because you know it's going to last. Tom Hardy cuts a stop going out, Karen. He doesn't drink as much. Tom Hardy cuts a casual figure as he joins glamorous wife Charlotte Riley for low-key 40th birthday celebrations. He's one of the biggest stars in Hollywood, with a long list of high-profile film credits to his name, but Tom Hardy opted for a low-key gathering when he celebrated his 40th birthday in London on Saturday night, joined by his glamorous wife, Charlotte Riley. The couple were spotted arriving at the bike shed in style, where they met up for a fun-filled bash with just a few close friends. She completed her look with a pair of T-bar heels and a statement necklace. Tom was casually clad for his birthday celebrations, sporting a baseball cap and bright red trainers. The star has been enjoying a fun-filled weekend of celebrations. Tom revealed he was an unexpected fan of Geordie Shore's Aaron Chalmers. What a small world, guys. What a small white world. As he attended the Bama 31 held at SSE Arena Wembley on Friday night, the Revenant actor celebrated his 40th birthday at the event with wife Charlotte Riley and dressed down for the occasion in a casual ensemble. Tom sported an unkempt beard and kept a low profile by pulling a baseball cap low over his face. The Mad Max actor looked completely engrossed in the fight, where Aaron was triumphant on the night, beating his opponent Alex Thompson in just 30 seconds via knockout. The pair's outing comes after Tom posted a heartfelt tribute to his pet dog Woody, announcing the pooch had sadly passed away at age 6. The actor took to his blog to tell his fans about his loss, explaining that Woody died earlier this week after a 6-month battle with polymyositis, which is muscle disorder. Tom called Woody his best friend, revealing how he rescued the animal when he was filming the 2012 movie Lawless in Atlanta. Man, I wonder if his girlfriend took that personal. I mean, his wife, you know. Really? That was your best friend? I'm the one at your birthday party, motherfucker. Woody couldn't have planned this.
Come on.
In the lengthy post, Tom detailed the night he and Woody first met. When the Labrador Cross ran across a road, the actor was driving down one night in Georgia with his Lawless co-star, Jessica Chastain. When Tom had to return home to London after the movie wrap, Jessica's parents took care of Woody in California until the actor returned to the U.S. to shoot The Dark Knight and took him home. Detailing their adventures together, Tom calls Woody his best friend, gushing, "We went through so much together," revealing how the pooch helped him after the death of his dog, Max. The actor adds that Woody had a close bond with his wife. Actress Charlotte Riley, explaining Charlotte worked tirelessly with him to get him through a rough case of separation anxiety. He loved her like his mom, and when she was pregnant, he guarded her fiercely. The actor points out, how did this become about his dog? How did so much of this come about? Anyway, his dog died, y'all, and it was his birthday. Congratulations. That's what's important in the world right now. We started off worried about Kim Jong-un, but look at us now. Worried about this man and his dog and his wife and his birthday party.
These are lighter problems.
Yay or nay? Mary Kay Olsen decides not to participate in horseback riding competition at the American Gold Cup in New York. Oh wow, this is bold. Call it a case of horse sense. Mary Kay Olsen decided to cancel a scheduled riding outing at the American Gold Cup at the Old Salem Farm in North Salem, New York on Friday for unknown reasons. The equestrian socialite 31 was all dressed up for a horseback ride but did not compete.
Day 31, that's amazing when you sit back and you think about how the creepos was counting down when they turned 18.
Mm-hmm. And now you look at them and it's just totally different than what you thought was gonna happen.
It is.
I remember when they was just talking about how woo. Y'all remember that?
Why do you look 50 and you're 24?
Now they look 50 and they're 24. Olsen, who shot the fame as a young child in 1980 with her sister Ashley on the show Full House, was clad in a writer's outfit of a red sweater over a long sleeve white polo top with khaki riding pants and black boots. Olsen rounded out her getup with round sunglasses, earrings, a large silver watch, a black equestrian hat, and a black designer leather backpack. She was seen with her hair both tied up and let down at the event, where she was snapped sipping coffee and smoking cigarettes. The 5'2" beauty earlier this month impressed during the Hampton Classic Horse Show, taking home $1,500 for third place and $10,000 in a $10,000 category for amateur owner jumpers as she rode her horse Donatere 5? I don't know. The famed designer spouse of nearly 2 years, former president of France, Oliver Sarkozy, 48, was on hand for her previous outing in the Bridgehampton, New York. Speaking with the equestrian company Hits, Olsen revealed that she first took an interest in the sport amid production of the 1992 TV film To Grandmother's House We Go. Oh, I remember that classic. I think we all know where we were when that came out.
Mm-mm.
In the theater. I was 6 when I first fell in love, and it was with a pony named 4x4. The Elizabeth and James designer said, adding that she continued honing her craft as a rider throughout her teenage years as a member of the equestrian team at Campbell Hall School in Los Angeles. And then a bunch of pictures of her smoking cigarettes, her hair up and then her hair down, then walking with a dude. I'll tell you what though, looking good, man. You know, I know they had went through a rough patch there.
Mm-hmm.
They looked like super skinny and methed out or some shit.
Ooh, and they looked old.
Yeah, but you know, they looking a little bit better than normal, you know.
Why do you look 50 and you're 24?
Let's see. Let's go ahead and wrap this up, guys. Let's get into some sore ratchetness and we're gonna get out of here. It's been a couple hours. You got enough. Here we go. Phoenix. A man is accused of threatening a grocery store manager with a short sword before an alcohol theft in North Phoenix. Phoenix police report that on September 15th, a man later identified as 25-year-old Day-Day Poe.
Black.
He looks Asian to me.
Oh, shit, name Day-Day?
Day-Day Poe. Last name Poe.
I missed the Poe.
I don't know. He could be black and Asian, though. I mean, you know, it's not like... you have to be one, but I mean, look, I would lean towards he looked more Asian, but I could see some black in him possibly. Day-Day Poe. He stole a bottle of whiskey from Fry's food store near 19th and Glendale Avenues. When Poe was confronted by a store manager, he allegedly revealed he was carrying a 15-inch short sword. The manager backed away from Poe, who then ran out the store. Employees told the police that Poe is known to them as he shoplifts the Fry's store on a regular basis. Police located Poe the next morning, still in possession of the white-handled sword. He reportedly admitted to police he took the alcohol, but denied threatening anyone. Poe was arrested for armed robbery. Mm-mm-mm. Sounds like his short sword came up a little bit short.
Oh,
that's right. All right, guys, we'll be back tomorrow. Thank y'all for everybody that tuned in. Appreciate y'all listening. Mm-hmm. And until then, I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah.